KXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. New York City's congestion pricing system is on life support. The Trump administration says it will halt the tolls to enter Manhattan, making many New Yorkers happy.
Congestion pricing is done. Yes.
More from CBS's Stacey Lynn.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy sent a letter to New York Governor Kathy Hochul saying the program was getting pulled.
If you're a middle income or a lower income shopper or worker, you can't access public roads. That's flat out wrong.
He called congestion pricing.
It's a war on the working class Americans who work in that space.
The governor responded, they're fighting.
For our residents, our commuters, our emergency personnel, life has gotten better. Even those with asthma, people with illness, that's who we're fighting for.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
CBS News has learned more than 3,500 IRS employees will be fired by the end of this week. Those workers will be notified tomorrow. A judge did not issue a ruling today after hearing arguments on the Justice Department's push to have the corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams dropped. CBS's Scott McFarland says the judge is wondering if the DOJ might take similar actions in other cities.
Would this be the type of thing that could be done in other cases across the country, where you have a high-ranking official with a security clearance and now he or she should be pulled away from a prosecution to help him or her do their jobs back at home? Prosecutors, the Department of Justice said yes, this is something we might do elsewhere.
President Trump has fired the latest shot in his war of words with Ukrainian President Zelensky, calling him a dictator without elections. This after Zelensky reacted to Trump's false claim that Ukraine started the war with Russia.
We are seeing a lot of disinformation that is coming from Russia, he said. Unfortunately, President Trump, with all due respect, is living in this disinformation space.
More from CBS's Nancy Cordes.
President Trump called Zelensky a dictator. He said he was doing a terrible job. He said that he needs to take a deal sooner rather than later, or he won't have a country anymore.
Parts of the South are digging out from several inches of snow. Jeff Fox in Bristol, Tennessee, wishes he could dig out.
Powder shovels, no salt, no sand. I think I've been to like three different grocery stores.
Wind chills will be below zero tonight as far south as Texas. Heather Curley lives near San Angelo.
I pray for
last week we were wearing shorts and we don't know how to dress for this weather.
The Vatican says Pope Francis is slowly improving as he fights off pneumonia. His supporters are flocking to Rome.
I'm praying for Pope Francis. We came here to Rome to be near him. I hope that he can recover and get better.
Pope said to be alert and in good humor. S&P 500 rose 14 points to a record high today. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Incumbent Jill Underley and challenger Brittany Kinzer won Tuesday's primary and will face off in the spring election to determine who will lead Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction. While the race is officially nonpartisan, Democrats have been supporting Underley while Republicans have been backing Kinzer. Jeff Wright, the superintendent for Sauk Prairie School District, was challenging Underley on Tuesday's ballot but lost. Underley and Kinzer will face off in the April 1st general election, and the winner will help set education policy throughout the state. And a handful of school referendums were also on the ballot last night. Here's Jimmy Cuska with more.
After a record-setting year for school referendums in 2024, there were only five on the ballot in Tuesday's primary. Voters in the districts of Mauston, Waterford Union, Tomahawk, and Northland Pines easily passed referendums. Mauston, facing possible dissolution if its referendum failed, saw its $7 million plan pass by a 2-to-1 margin. However, Kenosha voters rejected a five-year, $115 million proposal. 89 school referendums are on the April 1st spring election ballot across the state.
And in Tomahawk, this approved referendum will go towards expenses to maintain current educational programming and ongoing facility maintenance needs. Voters also cast ballots for a village president for Weston. Mark Maloney raked in well over 500 votes and will face off against James Pinsonaw on April 1st. And for village president in Cronenwetter, David Becker advances with 364 votes and will face Aaron Myska, who trailed behind by about 30 votes. And town treasurer in Texas is now narrowed down to Lorraine Beiersdorf, pulling in just over 100 votes, and Julie Dellenbach-Cole slides into the race with 56 votes. Also, last night, the Wisconsin Rapids Council voted to draft a new ordinance to keep adding fluoride to the city's water supply at the recommended state and federal levels. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training.
And welcome to another edition of the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. With former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress, I am Chad Holmes. Coming up, the timing a little bit different on our guests here this evening. We'll have both of our guests coming up in the first two segments of the second hour of the show. At 7:06 tonight, we'll be joined by the head boys basketball coach of the Marathon Red Raiders, Adam Jacobson. And then our student athlete guest after that at approximately 7:25, Wausau West High School senior Paige Anderson. So that's coming up here on the Big High School Sports Show. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm fired up here. I mean, we were just talking off air on some topics. And we got Tootsie Rolls, so we're all
there
good to go.
There you go. Hey, let's jump right in. We'll start with boys basketball. In fact, in this first hour, we'll hit the boys basketball, the girls basketball, which had the brackets come out, and then the hockey, which started the playoffs last night. So we got plenty to talk about here in our first hour before we get to the guests coming up at the start of hour number two. But Wisconsin Valley Conference boys basketball, Marshfield is the conference champions. They are 10-0 in the conference, 16-5 overall. Stevens Point is second in the league at 7-4, 15-8 overall. Wausau West third, they're 6-5 in the conference, 15-7. DC Everest and Wausau East are tied for fourth, both at 5-5 in the conference. Evergreen's 11-11 overall. Lumberjacks are 16-5. Merrill is next at 2-8 in the conference, 10-11 overall. And Wisconsin Rapids 1-9 overall, 1-9 in the conference, 2-18 overall. But the biggest story is the team at the top of the conference, because I think it was a great week for Marshfield. They started with that 74-54 win at Stevens Point. Again, the margin kind of surprised me. Landon Lee, 26. Fallon Ramberg, 16. Brooks Hinson, 15. Jaden Alwi, 17 for Spash. Grant Schadenau, 14. Then they had a non-conference game right after that on Saturday, beating Chippewa Falls, 62-53. Brooks Hinson, 19 points. Chris Pohl, 17 points, 12 boards. And then last night, had a chance to see them 59-39 over Wausau West. Hinson had himself a night. 22 points in the first half, 32 for the game. Griffin Lang led West with 10. But, boy, I mean, that's a good week.
Well, and for Marshfield, every time I hear, you know, talking to coaches about that team, and what I've seen out of them, they just can cater to whatever style they need to play to. And even I think it frustrates some coaches and players from time to time in the opposition, because it's like, oh, they could just run and gun, and they don't, and they slow it down. So I sometimes, my opinion is a sign of a good team. When you can adjust your styles, play it a little bit different way, but still hold true to who you are, I think, you know, that's a big deal going forward. I think it's what makes them so versatile. But I don't think you can ask much more. You know, Spash and West are also sitting up on the top of that conference in the top half, and they handled both of them very well. And the funny thing, when I listened to the broadcast last night, you could obviously tell by how you were describing that Hinson was going off, but they had, I don't think you said Lee didn't score, right?
He did not score.
Yeah. I mean, and he's another, can be another scorer.
He's the second leading scorer on the team.
They're just dangerous and deep, and I think, this is kind of their time to make that run. So I'm not surprised they went 3-0 from the time we had the last show, and that they're sitting up with an unblemished record at the top of that conference.
Another great game was last Thursday. Double overtime, East beat West 75-72. Charlie Cayley, 16 points, 13 boards. Five East players in double figures. Griffin Lang, 39 points. Career high for Wausau West. East had a non-conference win against Fox Valley Lutheran, 62-43 last night. Five East players between 9 and 13 points. Good bounce back for Wausau East, still without Nap Gazik.
And that's the point I was going to make. I think we talked last week on the show how big a deal it is for your players to fill holes. It's because this is the time when injuries and being sick can change the outcome of games, because you just don't have the same rotation, or players aren't playing the same, or they get thrown and jostled a little bit from a comfort level they had when all the guys were there for the rotation. So I think for East, a nice week. The overtime win, again, it doesn't matter where East and West usually are. That's a crosstown rivalry. Teams are coming at each other. And for East to get a nice win against West when you're down your best score and one of the other teams players has a career night, I think that's still a big deal. That's kind of the way you want it to go down. Finish it out in OT, or not in OT, finish it out with that last second shot, let somebody get it. And then they bounce back nicely against Fox Valley Lutheran.
Mixed bag for both Everest and Merrill. Everest, they lost to Hudson in a non-conference game. It kind of is interesting to me because, again, Hudson is a team in that same bracket. And when you lose at home 56-35, that says that Hudson team is going to be one to keep an eye on for everybody that's in that bracket. Xavier Edwards and Kate Felch had 12 in that game for Everest. They bounced back to beat Merrill last night, 65-46 in Merrill. Merrill had won in Wisconsin Rapids on Thursday, 52-37. E.J. Wykes, 28 points in that game. When you look at a lot of these teams, I think these two are examples. There seems to be some reasons for optimism at times, and then there's reasons where it's like, oh, there's still some work to be done.
Yeah, and that's what shows up, definitely
everybody but Marshfield at this point.
Right, yeah, well, that shows up what's in the scores. I still think the Valley's stronger than it has been in years past. It'll be interesting to see where it kind of moves them around in those playoff brackets when the computer seeds them. But for Everest, that's why you want to either stay closer or get the W against Hudson, because you don't want that score to reflect anything that slides you around a position in that seeding. But they bounced back and beat Merrill last night, and I would like to think that Friday they're going to get another Valley win against Rapids. For Merrill, I saw a play early on, physicality. I think there's a lot of athleticism there. They're sitting at about a 500 overall record, but just haven't quite got the consistency. I think they're still dangerous where they're hanging around and being competitive, but just not quite over the hump. But for them, they're another team in this division or in this conference where they'll drop a division when playoffs come around. So having a good, strong conference season, maybe that record isn't at 2-8 quite where they want it, I think there's still a formidable foe for Valley teams that still have to play them, as well as when they dive into their Division II bracket.
And I do think Stephen's point is still one that's interesting to watch. With Aoi now getting implemented more, they did have that loss against Marshfield, but they did bounce back to beat Appleton East Monday, 81-49, and then last night win in Rapids, 78-42. Again, when you look at that team, I do think that in terms of being maybe when the brackets do come out this weekend, that's one that talent-wise may be underseeded.
Yeah, I think it very well could be. And the thing I like about, sometimes when you have a player come back or come to the team for whatever reason at a certain point in the season, you want to watch for that. Yeah, shift of power is a bad way to describe it, but you have your ducks in a row. You have the guys that are kind of deciding on how you're knocking down the baskets. Who's the alpha male, right?
Yeah.
So you want to keep that going while also adding these other people. And it seems to be where, Shadna is still their leading scorer. He seems to be putting up the consistent points every night, always back in that next spot a lot of times. So I think it looks like those pieces are hovering together. And I do think, them along with even Everest a little bit with Preby coming back, kind of hitting their stride. And East will be another team that'll you know, jump a little bigger with Nemgesic back again once he gets over his illness. So I think that the consistency for these teams to be winning most of their games is a big deal as they try to put it all together as one piece and be totally ready for the playoff run.
Great Northern Conference, still plenty to play for the conference championship. You got Medford and Rhinelander 8-2. Medford 12-9 overall, Rhinelander 15-5. Mosinee right there 7-2 in the conference, 15-6. Pines 5-6 in the conference, 12-10 overall. Lakeland 4-7, 9-13. Antigo 3-6, 10-11. And Tomahawk 0-10 in the conference, 4-17 overall. And when you look at this league, Medford still is an enigma. They find ways to win these conference games, but even last night, they lost to Menominee 94-52. I think when you look at what Mosinee does when they're at their best, it feels like they're all, it just feels like they're a tougher team, but at the same time, yet they're still there. Rhinelander just seems to be able to win the games they have to win. Maybe sometimes not as impressively as, say, Mosinee when they're at their best, but Rhinelander, that 62-57 win on Friday against Lakeland was, again, an impressive win because they needed to win that game. But as you look at this league and, you know, the results, none of the teams played each other this past week, but I know, and Mosinee plays Rhinelander coming up.
Right.
But as you look at it, I mean, it just feels like maybe from the outside looking in, maybe Mosinee's got that highest ceiling. Rhinelander will always maximize, and Medford, I don't know.
You analyzed that very well because I was thinking the same thing. It's the probably the most fun conference race we have left with the tie with the games being so close in terms of the Medford 8-2, Rhinelander 8-2, Mosinee at 7-2, but from what I've watched on the scores, I definitely agree with you. Mosinee is the strongest in their non-conference games, whether they're most competitive in the losses they've taken or just the schedules they've run where they've won a couple in a row based on playing tough competition and jumping around both in-conference, out-of-conference. I think they are the most consistent at that and show up every time. Rhinelander, you know, you said it well. They just get the job done.
And real quick, they went to Pines and gave up 29 points. Yep. Incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
Because Pines is normally a team that is able to score.
Right. So I think that, you know, for Rhinelander, they just, it's they just kind of get the job done. And they've been kind of blue collar like that the last couple of years where it's, they're dangerous because you're not going to probably get rid of them, but do they have enough to put together that night to win it ugly or play pretty? They're all over the place. And Medford, I saw that score off Menominee last night.
Yeah, they gave up 29 on Friday and 94 on Tuesday.
Yeah, and I was like, but again, you know, for the conference race, I guess it doesn't matter because you're playing consistent and you're at the top of that conference for the GNC boys and should be with the games. I think I know they have Tomahawk left, and I'm not sure after that, so they're going to get a couple more wins there. But it's just that's the consistency when you get deeper into the playoffs. You're playing these bigger non-conference games technically. So where are you going to stand after that point? But everybody talks about Medford always well coached, and those kids are playing above what maybe they're supposed to be at.
Like the GNC, still a lot to be determined in the Marawood South. You got Auburndale 12-1 still atop the conference standings, 20-1 overall. Stratford 11-2 in the conference, 19-2 overall. Marathon 10-3, 14-7. Assumption 6-7, 7-14. Edgar also 6-7, 8-12, and Newman 2-11, 4-16. You what has Auburndale done this past week? Actually, one of the game that was most impressive to me for Auburndale because they beat Athens Thursday in the crossover, 52-39. But they played Pacelli on Saturday, and they trailed by 11 points at halftime, 29-18. They outscored Pacelli 39-20 in the second half to win. Only one loss so far, but I thought that was a very impressive comeback.
Yeah, and a tough non-conference opponent because Pacelli's no slouch in that area, and they've played some of the other teams in the area very well and have a good lineup and some of the kids they have as their nucleus in their rotation. And for Auburndale, it's just, again, another one of those teams there for the Marawood Conference. They're very blue-collar. They just get the job done. Nothing's flashy. I watched them against Newman when I score-kept one night, and it was just a matter of how disciplined basketball that they played. Offensively, they move the ball well. Defensively, they're not going to give you any easy looks wherever you decide to take that shot from, if you can even get it off. So I can see where they might be down, make some adjustments. Or Coach Weinfurt is very good at adjusting what his team's able to do, and they got a nice win on Saturday, and that's why they continue to stay at the top. I like the matchup where they're playing Stratford, and or where Stratford's going to come along soon, and they're going to take some of these other teams where Stratford, you know, got Rib Lake and turnaround and non-conference game against Wyawega. I think that matchup against Auburn that's coming at the end of the season is going to be a big one. It's going to come wind out. The funny thing I found out, we always say this, the rankings are just for fun and entertainment.
Right.
Stratford with two losses is ranked higher than Auburndale with one loss. And
interesting. Well, speaking of Stratford, it feels like they are building. The 74-64 win over Rib Lake, I mean, they're starting to get some, I think, better offensive production. I thought they had a little few, they were a little hot and cold earlier.
Right.
They had Riley Spindler, 25, Drew Brusewitz, 18, Jed Henderson, 18 in that win against Rib Lake, and then they added a non-conference win last night, 55-37 against Wyawega Fremont. You know Auburndale, you know Stratford well. It feels like Stratford right now is maybe peaking at the right time.
And Coach Schmidt is going to know. He knows this. You know, he came on the show and he gave us just great analytics on his kids. He knows them well. He pinpoints these little things for them to continue to work on throughout the season, and it makes a big difference coming down the stretch. And Stratford's always held in that conference really well defensively, and I think any time you can get that extra offensive output, that makes a big deal going forward, and he seems like he's getting his team in the right spot right before playoffs roll around.
Marathon, a good week. We saw them on Friday night beat Phillips by a good margin, 83-58. Cody Radke, 22. Drew Thur, 17. Drew Wolfel, 16. J.J. Hakenen and Lane Abraham, 15 each for the Loggers. And then last night, a good non-conference win, beating Whitburn, 53-49. And we'll obviously have a chance to talk more with Adam Jacobson coming up. But what was your take on seeing Marathon in person?
Well, when I saw him against Phillips, I thought, again, just the great job, active hands and defensive positioning. They just always, Phillips had two scores, and they really flustered those guys. These guys could never get rolling the right way. Made them speed up, play a little faster than they wanted to, and you could see the frustration out of the Phillips guys trying to get the ball in the basket. So Marathon, that's a credit to Marathon's defense. And then offensively, they just kept after it. They wore them down, triple post offense, trying to find those guys. Nice entry passes, put the ball in the right spot for kids to make moves. And even when we thought, when we were talking, as they went a little cold from the line, they really came around, started burying it. Certain guys started to bury those shots. And I thought good organization from a coaching standpoint of the offense and defense for Marathon that night, and I thought the kids executed really well, and you can see that in the score discrepancy. Phillips is one of the better teams in the Marywood North, and they beat them 83-58.
Other teams in the Marywood South had the crossovers again on Friday. Assumption got past Abbotsford 66-63. JT Schlafer and Logan Nystrom, 20 for the Royals. Grayson Totsky, 19 for the Falcons. Prentice got the one win for the Marywood North, beating Newman 65-57. Evan Lord, 24. Aiden Housie, 23 for Prentice. Quincy Fender at 26 for the Cards. Lucas Piffner, 22. And also Edgar. Edgar, again, maybe outplaying what they're original prognostications were, and they rolled Shawamigan 87-55, Leighton Schuett 23, Carson Nowak 21. What about the bottom third, bottom half of the conference?
Well, Assumption's interesting to me because they always talk about that class, and it just seems like, you know, I've seen Abby play. I'd like to think that they could handle them by a couple more points than they did, but they just, I don't know, they don't seem to totally get over the hump yet. Every coach you talk to says they can be dangerous on a given night because of the scoring output they have. For Edgar.
Well, I'll give you a full report on Assumption next week because we got them Friday against Marathon and Monday against Newman. And maybe you'll get a chance to see them on Monday.
Well, and I'd like to see how they do against those two teams because I've seen those other two teams in Marathon and Newman play enough. For Edgar, playing well enough. They're 6-7 overall, sitting just at 500, and they got about 8-12 for their overall record, and beat Shawamigan like they should. I would have wanted to. They were supposed to play Iola last night, and they got postponed. I would have liked to see how they did against them because we know where Iola's kind of stands in the Wittenberg Bond to Well Conference. And for Newman, I still, you know, like to see them just get over that hump. It's 50. A couple of these other games recently have been a little tighter, and it's just like they just don't put everything together yet. And when they could do that, I think they have enough scoring punch to be dangerous to win these games, but you can't have lapses in other areas of play.
Speaking of the Merriwood North standings, you got Rib Lake. They're going to win it. They're 10-3 in the conference, 14-6 overall. Phillips 7-6, and then 14-7 overall. Prentice 7-6 as well, 12-6 overall. Athens 4-9, 5-15. Abbotsford 2-11, 8-13. Shawamigan 1-12, 3-17. As I said, they only got one W in the crossovers. Phillips did bounce back from their loss to Marathon, beat Three Lakes Monday 67-58. But Rib Lake actually, you know, to go to Stratford and play within 10, I actually think was, again, not knowing how the game exactly went. But still, I think Rib Lake has to feel like, hey, they went toe-to-toe against a really good basketball team.
And I saw Rib Lake play Newman. They have some good athletes up there. They got some bigger kids. They got some guys that get to the basket well. That night, they could definitely hit the three. I don't know if that's consistent on any given night, but that's the one thing I was thinking, to go down to Stratford, only lose by 10, have a 10-3 overall record in the conference, and that's concluding their crossover games, is a nice job so far this season. They're 14-6 overall. The other part of the game that interests me that's going to come up is both Phillips and Prentice are sitting at 7-6. And they're going to get each other in their next conference game, so that'll be interesting to see. And Phillips, you know, is 14-7, and Prentice is 12-6 overall. So I think all those, most of their losses have come within the conference, probably to some of the South teams. So again, good competition up there in the Merriwood North.
CWC East, Bondewell still undefeated, 12-0, 20-0 overall. Wittenberg Burnhamwood 10-2, 16-5 overall. Iola Scandinavia right there at 9-3 in the conference, 15-5. Shiocton 6-6, Menominee Nation 5-7, 12-9 overall. Shiocton 11-10, Wyoega Fremont 3-9 in the league, 6-15. Amherst 2-10, 7-15. Manawa 1-11, 6-16. One of the big games were Bondewell beating Whitburn Thursday night, 73-55. So they stay right there, and also a team that kind of fourth place. 6-6, 11-10, Shiocton. And they only lost by 3 to Iola Thursday, 66-63. And then one of those non-conference games last night that kind of caught my eye, Shiocton beat Pacelli by 12, which I was a little surprised. So, I mean, we talk always about Bondewell and Whitburn. Obviously, Bondewell still perfect. Whitburn, you know, they've lost a few games, but they're playing some really good competition that should get them ready for the playoffs. But that Shiocton team actually kind of jumped out to show a little depth in that league.
Well, you know, Shiocton's coached by, right? Chad Schmidt, which is Kurt Schmidt from Stratford's brother. You know, the success, and I know those two used to
be. So you're not as shocked.
No, I'm not. No, because they've had some very good records over the past years. And again, he knows his stuff as well as his brother does.
Get his team ready at the end.
Yeah, so they, you know, and that's what you want. But that's a nice win over a good Pacelli team. I mean, they're not an easy team to push over and get through, and to win by 12 against them is a good win. I'm curious to see how Wittenberg keeps bouncing back. Obviously, Bondewell's a very good team. They had not beaten them. They struggled against them the first time. Bondewell owns that conference, but they're sitting at a 10-2 record overall, 16-5 as their overall record. And then I was interested to see that the Marathon game was tight with 4 points. I mean, Wittenberg's not easy. Marathon's solid too. So I think for that they've taken two now, and then they got to roll around and play Iola again. They don't have an easy schedule here. And again, you want to be playing tough, but for players, it's a hard time of year because they want to see the the fact of the scoreboard at the end of the day for them. That kind of is what proves them. And for Wittenberg, if they're not getting out but they're playing good competition, you got to have your players understand, like, hey, we're taking losses to good teams. It's not like we're playing bad and we're being competitive. So that's a big deal for them to bounce back against Iola on Friday.
And CWC North Tigerton still atop 7-0, 18-1. Northland Lutheran is 7-2, 11-7. White Lake 5-2 in conference, 10-6 overall. Boulder 3-5, 6-13. Gresham 1-6, 6-15. Marion 0-8 and 3-18. Monday, Northland put up 88 points. Put in those numbers, please. I'm sure somebody scored a lot of points.
Yeah.
88-64 win. Faith Christian had an opportunity Tuesday. They took Marion to overtime, but fell 58-55. So as they develop their program, be competitive, and that's what you want to try to do.
Yeah, that's a good route to go. Probably fitting in with some of these smaller teams in that conference will be a good start for them on their WIA journey to getting conference ready, maybe a full schedule. For Northern Lutheran, you know, to catch Tigerton, they do get to play them again at the end of February, and so, but that's still, I know they're still down two losses, so if they win that game, they're going to need help from somebody else. But again, 7-2 overall in that conference, and we've talked about over the years how nice a fit that is for them. And they're gonna, I just always find their schedule fascinating, because you got conference game, and then all of a sudden they jump out to the bigger schools. And just, I want to see them get in the flow with some of those bigger schools, because they do challenge themselves quite often in that.
We're going to take a one-minute timeout, then come back and talk about the girls, talk about where the teams stand in the conference races, and also talk about the brackets that came out this past weekend as well. That's straight ahead here on the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. On Thursday night, the playoffs begin for the Wausau West High School hockey team. The Warriors will play host to Superior in a Division I regional final. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:50 and the opening face-off at 7 p.m. Wausau West Hockey on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing, and the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club. It's Wausau West taking on Superior in a WIAA Division I Hockey Regional Final. Thursday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:50, opening faceoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. K5 Construction is a family-owned and operated custom builder in central Wisconsin that stands out from the rest for its commitment to quality and excellence. From design and planning to the final construction, K5 Construction delivers superior results on every project. With Jeff Gress, I'm Chad Holmes, Big High School Sports Show. Again, both our guests will be coming up in the second hour. Marathon Boys basketball coach Adam Jacobson will join us at 7:06, and then our student-athlete guest a little bit later tonight, as we'll be joined by Paige Anderson, the Wausau West senior, coming up at approximately 7:25. Talking about girls high school basketball, Wisconsin Valley Conference, Stevens Point Panthers are going to be the league champion. Yeah, Stevens Point is 11-0 in the conference, 20-4 overall. Then you got Marshfield at 8-2, 12-11. D.C. Everest is third at 5-5, 7-13. Wausau West, 5-6, 7-16 overall. Actually, I think the Warriors are 6-6. I got to double-check that. Sometimes these numbers on these pages are not always as accurate as we need them to be. Let me do this really fast, because I believe in accuracy more than anything
I had else. 5-6, too, though, but I think.
Yeah, they are 5-6. Why are they 5-6? When do they play again? I am now confused by that, but I'm going to.
They play at Hudson. I think they're off till the 28th.
Yeah, because, I mean, where's that 11th game? Because they do not have a game between now and the end of the regular season. And that's sort of odd.
It could have just not been posted.
Oh, let me see. Notes on the Valley site.
Got it.
Wausau East is playing D.C. Everest, Merrill, Wausau West, and Wisconsin Rapids on a non-conference basis in the second half. Games versus Marshfield and Stevens Point have been canceled.
Okay.
So there you go. That's why. I was confused by that. That's why I was confused. Wisconsin Rapids 4-6, 9-13. Merrill 1-9, 5-17. East 0-6, 0-13. So, Spash, Thursday, they played Regis. I kind of wish I would have seen this one, because it looked like just a fantastic couple of individual performances. Spash beat Regis in OT, 82-76. Jada Seibert, sophomore, 39 points. Ella Mae Cooper for Regis, 44. You don't see that very often in girls' basketball.
Those are those are legitimate numbers that make memory. I mean, that's a lot of points between two players for opposite teams. For Spash, what I like about Spash is, you know, early on they were jumping around their non-conference schedule right away to start off when we started the season off, and you're kind of like, well, where are they going to end up? And it just, it shows. They're 20-4 overall and 11 unblemished in the conference, and they're playing good competition. Regis is a good non-conference game, and they continue to roll in the Valley, which is why they're, you know, seeded number two and going to be a formidable foe up in that. You know, usually we don't see some of those Valley teams get that high rank, and it's nice to see that they got the representation for the conference.
DC Everest, again, they moved to third place. I got to think that they would be very happy to be the third place team in the WVC. They rolled past Merrill 59-23 on Friday. Grace Sanquist, 17. Kirsten Hall, 14. I think that's been one of the good stories so far this year.
Well, right. And you want to see that out of players and teams and the coaches that are working with them, is to be able to jump a little bit. We've talked about, and you just know where they stood the last couple of years in that conference. And to, you know, just finish higher than you were is a credit to everybody's hard work in that program. And it gives you promise of stuff, of expectations that can be set, where that's what we want to attain each season and continue to get better. So I think they've challenged themselves. I think we've seen the defense do really well for them, and I think their next move is just going to make sure they always have that offensive output, because in any game that they've ever struggled, they came up a little bit short on that end. And I would have liked to see, I know the Mosinee game got canceled, but it was just kind of another, kind of maybe a benchmark. Whether they win or lose it, they can come out of there testing themselves a little bit and seeing the improvements that they've made this season.
Marshfield, interesting again. They had a good conference win. They beat West 79-47. They were in control of that one. Zeta Colbeck, 20. Ayla Christensen, 21. Paige Anderson, 14 for the Warriors. But Thursday, a game that kind of jumped out to me. They lost to Kaukauna, 45-43. And the thing that jumps out is Kaukauna is a number 14 seed in their bracket. For Marshfield, you just can't lose that game at this time of the year.
No, and it shows us the scariness of what we always worry about in these bigger divisional playoffs, is when you get over to the Fox Valley, you get out of your area, how are you going to compete? Well, that score's not what you want. I mean, you lost to a team that's seeded lower than you are, and just a difficult one. And I think after you get past Spash, those are teams that you could see some upsets based on how they've played throughout this year. Not to say they've had, you know, 8-2 in the conference is a good mark for Marshfield. They're above 500. They are in middle of the road with I think they're an 8 seed. So I think.
And by the way, when I say Kaukauna is a 14 seed, I was just looking here. In the Fox Valley Association, Kaukauna is 10-7. They're 12-11 overall. They're not in the same bracket. They're in sectional 2. Marshfield and other Valley teams,
right,
sectional 1. But that says to me that, holy cow, sectional 2 must be full of good basketball teams, because when you have in the FBA, you're 10-7. I mean, you got great teams. You got Kimberly, who's undefeated in that conference. Hortonville has been very good in recent years. They're second. Nina, of course, has been really good. Appleton East as well. I mean, 14 seed. Wow. I mean, I'm almost tempted to delve into the computer got some bad numbers in that one.
Well,
so I shouldn't say it was a bad loss for Marshfield. No. I guess I was judging by the 14 seed.
On paper, with looking at numbers, yes. But it just shows that, you know, we've talked about that before, where you're out of your area, things, games look a little different in different parts of the state, and there's some obviously very competitive areas in the state that might be different if you're not in central Wisconsin. It just depends. So that 14 seed could not maybe be a big deal. That might be a good competitive game for Marshfield. But we'll see going forward, right, if they ever get far enough to compete against each other.
Great Northern, Lakeland, 12-0, 20-4 overall. Mosinee, 9-2, 16-5. Rhinelander, 7-4, 13-10. Medford, 6-5, 12-11. Tomahawk, 4-7. Pines, 1-10. Antigo, 0-11. I mean, Rhinelander's really fallen on hard times. I mean, they fell to Lakeland 70-15 on Friday. Christina Womet, 28 points for Lakeland. You got Mosinee, 64-17 over Tomahawk. Taylen Jerschley, 31. Britt Fitzgerald, 14. Big win for Mosinee on Monday. Beating Rice Lake, 57-50. Jerschley, 21 points. Lakeland beat Shawano last night, 58-44. Right now, top-heavy, and when I say top-heavy, Lakeland and Mosinee in that conference.
Yeah, and I guess I was most impressed with that Rice Lake win, because Rice Lake is the number one seed in their sectional. I think it is ahead of Lakeland and ahead of Mosinee.
That is exactly right.
Is that right?
Yep, and that's quite a statement.
Well, that's what I was thinking when I saw that Mosny beat them, and that's a big deal going into that. Just for confidence, I mean, the seeds are already what they are,
right?
But for confidence level, I think that's a huge thing for Mosny, and they're playing good basketball. You know, they beat Tomahawk, they should have the big Rice Lake win. I feel for. You know, like you said, for Rhinelander, I don't know if they're going to get the Clark girl back by the end of the year.
But they have just really had troubles.
You can just see that her scoring is a big deal. And I guess you could also say at the same time, they've held it together as best they can. They're 7-4 in the conference, and they're still 13-10 overall. For Lakeland, continuing to own the conference, they're going to win that one. And just with Wimette and company scoring a lot of points, they're going to sew that up with Rhinelander. Or sorry, sew that up with rolling in their playoffs and make a deep run.
Merriwood South Assumption 15-0, 22-1 overall. Stratford 13-2, 19-4 overall. Auburndale 12-3, 19-4 overall. Marathon 10-5, 18-5 overall. Edgar 4-11, 8-15 overall. Newman 2-13, 3-18 overall. They had some again crossovers Thursday and Friday. The South won 5 of the 6 games. We had Marathon and Phillips, 69-65 Marathon over Phillips. Your take on the Raiders?
I was going to say that was the biggest one I thought of all the games. Assumption, Stratford, Armadale should have won the ones that they won. But for Marathon, again, we did the game on air, live on air, and it was just a good come out and execute and kind of take care of business. And even when it got a little bit to where they bent a little bit, but they didn't break, and that definitely came up with a couple key turnovers, and Phillips had a couple girls that were kind of starting to feel their groove and knock down the shots that they needed to, but Marathon always kept them at bay, and it was a nice win in their gym over the number one team in the Merriwood North, and I think that was a big win in terms of playoff implications, and just for Marathon to get that, you know, Coach Snyder talked about it afterwards in the post game, and we mentioned it earlier, they've won games they're supposed to win, and they need to get some of those signature ones, and that was one of them, and it leads them to be 18-5 overall, and a big conference win for them.
An Assumption earned a big win last night, beating Aquinas 73-70. Four Royals in double figures, Sarah Shaw 21. Obviously, Assumption just one loss. Aquinas, they're now 19-4, but to go over there to La Crosse and earn a win is really a good one to us launch into the playoffs.
Yeah, against a bigger divisional school. I thought it'd be a tight game. I didn't really think Assumption could come out because they play on that side of the state. And I thought maybe a little bit brand of tougher basketball, a little more physicality over there. And again, they're a bigger school. And so for Assumption, you got to give them credit to go over there and knock off an Aquinas team with a good record and a good standing in their conference and do it on the road on a Tuesday night over to La Crosse is not an easy thing. So nice win for Assumption that puts them at 22-1 for the season.
Merriwood North, you got Phillips leading the way, 11-4, 17-6 overall. Rib Lake, 9-6 in the conference, 2 games back. Prentice, 7-8. Abbey at 4-11, Athens 2-13, Shawamigan 1-14. Phillips. Watching Phillips Friday, I don't see a deep run. Am I off the mark? Because I just thought there were a few things out there that I kind of would be concerned about. And I think even more than the X's and O's is maybe the way they struggled emotionally with some tough defense at times.
Yeah, I thought Marathon was scrappy that night. They caused a lot of frustration based on their defensive aggressive defense, I guess I would say, and it made Phillips get off their game. They couldn't get out in the open floor as well as they wanted to. They took a lot of contested shots. They had to force a lot of extra shots on stuff. So I thought for the Marathon girls, they did a nice job and got up and took Phillips out of their game, which I think it shows that if one, you know, you're going to learn from that. Other teams are going to watch that game, and then they're going to use that to do the same rattle of right. Those of their scores. And Eckert was, I mean, she got going towards the end, but it took her a while, and keeping her at bay and making things difficult for her put a lot of pressure on her teammates. And I think one of the best things was they didn't allow her to get scoring. And early on, she had some good passes right away early on. And then they started taking away those angles, which I thought made a big difference. So I would agree with you because they're going to have to go through some of those similar teams. I'm pretty sure Marathon's in the same bracket, right, as Phillips is. So
we'll talk about in just a moment. Yeah,
could be a little challenging is what I'm saying.
CWC East, one team remains in the state that is undefeated, and that's Wittenberg-Burnhamwood, and they stay that way with a huge win. First, let's give you the standings. 13-0 Whitburn, 23-0 overall. Bondiwell, 11-2, 17-5. Then Wyawega-Fremont at 7-6. So big gap between 2 and 3. Menominee Nation, 6-7. Amherst, 5-8. Iola Scandinavia, 4-9. Shiocton, 3-10. Manawa, 3-10. But Friday night, Whitburn went to Bondiwell. And again, we talked about that game last week about great test, just be undefeated, go into the house of the team that's closest to you in the conference and win 67-45. And the thing about it that jumped out more than anything else is I think every game this year, and again, I should have gone back and looked at it, it was either Milena Granquist or Rory Salveson that led the team in scoring. I think almost every game. It's like those two would almost be the same. But Harper Rogowski had 17 to lead the way in that game. Granquist 13, Salveson 11. Obviously, you know, at this time of the year, you need that third player, don't you?
Oh, and you want, I mean, again, the more guys that can step up or somebody that's unexpected to step up because they go after your scores. You know, coaches are coming up with a game plan to keep guys in check. And when you can have two, three, four kids in double figures in any way, especially for Wittenberg. I mean, we just look at it on paper. It's constantly Granquist and Salveson averaging 20 and 18 a game. So when somebody else pops up in a big game like that, that's a big deal going forward because in those playoffs, as you know, as you get farther and farther along, you're technically supposed to see better and better teams and new strategies and things that coaches are going to throw at you. And it's how you it's all about that response and consistency and can teams fill the void that or change up something on the fly that they haven't done or experienced. And I thought it was a big deal for Wittenberg to it's a statement win when you go over to Bondiwell and that's the next team in the conference and you win by 22 points. So good win for them. And they continued to roll in all their other games that they had.
Yeah,
throughout the rest of the week till now.
The two non-conference games were not against the top level competition, but they're 23-0. And something real fast, and I was thinking about this earlier today. I don't know, Coach, have you ever had an undefeated team? Get on the microphone for a second here. I got a question for you.
He's in early.
Why not? We will have the official interview at 7:06. But did you ever have a team that went deep into the year undefeated?
We did. 14-15, we were 22-0 because you played 22 at that time. Played Auburndale in a regional final, lost 38-35, and they went to the state tournament.
I'm sorry I brought it up. Yeah. But real fast, when you do have a team that is undefeated at the end of the season going into the playoffs, because I was thinking today, for Wittenberg-Burnhamwood, for the girls, there's going to be one or two things. They're going to finish up an incredible year, win a gold ball undefeated. I mean, you talk about winning the trifecta, the lottery, or they're going to be undefeated and then you're going to lose the final game of the season. How do you look at going into this situation? How do you maybe take the pressure off some of these kids when, I mean, they got to be knowing in the back of their head that they're the only team in the state right now in girls basketball that's undefeated?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good place to be, right? But I think we talked about it with our guys last year. You know, the goal is to win every game, right? You go into every game with the intent of winning, but the goal is not to go undefeated. You know, and at times it's not a bad thing. We were talking about it as coaching staff today. Sometimes when you lose, you peel that onion really, really, really far to try to figure out what's wrong. And sometimes, you know, winning masks some bad habits or things like that. But once again, your goal is to win every game. The difficulty is trying to take the pressure off, right? And just realize, hey, we're just out here to play the best we can possibly play. You know, we're fortunate to win every game to this point. But just try to alleviate the pressure and play your best basketball when it matters most.
Very good. Anything to add?
What was it? I always found, you know, when we started off 4-0 in the season, then we lost that fifth game. Just kidding. That's about as far as we made it. But do you feel... How do you think the players deal, or coaches, or anybody? You know, because it's twofold. You know, you feel good and confident because obviously things are rolling in the right direction to get those high marks, but there's a target on your back. And at any point, especially this far for Wittenberg, they're 23-0. you don't want that one. You don't want to lose that 24th game going into the playoffs because now you're because and then like you said, how far do you go back? So, when you guys were at that 22-0 mark, did you feel a lot? Was there a lot of pressure there? Would you say?
Yeah, looking back on it, I certainly learned a lot. I think I maybe put too much pressure on the kids. You know, you don't feel like you are at the time. You don't think you're overthinking it, but then in hindsight, you know. So then you. Looking back on it now, and when we try to schedule, you know, it's not like you're trying to find losses or anything, but it's okay to not go undefeated. Right. You know, it's okay to get that pressure off. You know, I think of the Badgers when they went to the national championship that one year. I think they lost three times, like one early, one in the middle, one late. It didn't change anything. They still won the Big Ten, still won the Big Ten, all that. So it's like, you know, it's not bad to maybe have a loss in there.
Let's talk quickly about the brackets. Did you take a look at the brackets?
Yes, I got some written down.
Okay,
so go for it.
Well, Division One, and again, when we talk about these computers, and I was a little bit, I said to somebody, if they would have had a coaches meeting, there's no way that DC Everest is behind Wausau West, but they are. And actually, in the end, I think it may be something that's good for Everest because they got a 15 seed. So they play the first round game against the lowest seed at home. They play Appleton West. They're 15 seed. You got Rapids at 14, West at 13 at the bottom end of the scale. And then you got Stevens Point, who's a number 2 seed, which is very impressive against some of these other schools, and Marshfield at number 8. But the first thing I thought of is Everest got the short end. But maybe you want to be in that game because, obviously, you would love to get a win. And I think for a building program like Coach Lauren Bolas has, this may be, you know, in some way, a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's tough when you feel that the computer has not done its justice. It sounds like most of the time it does, but we can go through situations over the years where stuff isn't where it's supposed to be. And I think, you know, easier said than done because I'm outside looking in and I'm not part of that program. But with the buildup that they made from the bottom of the conference to the middle of the pack, they're, you know, finishing in that, hanging in that third place spot right now from last season, I think that a first round playoff win would be nice. It's just going to add something that they can build because I think along those lines, when you're first starting that program off, you're trying to give justification to the players that the reason we're doing things and what we're trying to execute and what we're trying to become and the philosophies we're trying to go off of is to all gain that success that you hopefully builds and carries on into the off season and into the next season that the kids are going to want to be unbreakable, so to speak, and what they're going to want to work. So I think a first-round playoff game is going to be a big deal.
We're going to talk more about the specific matchups later, but I just want to get some general impressions on some of these seedings. Division Two. You got, as you said earlier, you got Rice Lake, who Mosinee beat this week. Obviously, it was after the seedings came out, number one. Then Lakeland, number two. Mosinee, number three. Rhinelander, number five. Antigo, number, excuse me, in the bottom bracket, Antigo's nine. Merrill is nine in that same bracket. East, 11. Medford, six. But I wanted to ask you, and I don't know if you even know it or even Coach would know it. Rhinelander has obviously been missing one of their best players, and we don't know if she's coming back. Does the computer take note of that for seeding? Maybe, and I imagine coaches may take note of that if they had a meeting, right?
Oh, definitely. Coach can attest to this 100 times better than I can, but yes, because you could argue and state your case that we were missing this player for this many games. Or I mean, it changes your season.
But if you're out, maybe you'll earn a number five seed, but without that player, all of a sudden you're not the same team.
No,
I mean, your leading scorer, 23 points per game. I mean, you're obviously not the same. I mean, you go back to college football a couple years ago. That's why they kept Florida State out, because they lost their quarterback. They said, hey, you're not the same team, so you're not getting in.
Well, and if you look at Rhinelander, their scores have changed since, as long as we figured out Clark's gone, that their scores have changed a lot. She's a 20-point scorer game, obviously a huge part of their offense, and they're struggling to score in the 20s sometimes. And we'll see. That could go twofold, though. Because you might find yourself as a sleeper in the middle of the pack there at that 5-4 game, which is sometimes a push game. And if she's back in any way, that could change the whole complexity of the team, and then they could maybe get their foot in the door. But the computer, and Coach, again, can correct me if I'm wrong, will not take into account that injured player. It's going to go on your wins and losses through the schedule.
Strictly numbers.
Yeah. In Division Three, Whitburn, of course, is a number one seed. Other area teams, Tomahawk 6, Amherst 7, Pines 10. First thing you look at is who's number two, because Freedom, and they've had some issues Freedom's been better in the playoffs than Whitburn in recent years. I mean, Whitburn's had some really good teams, but they have not been able to knock through that door yet. And again, that's something you have to wonder about until it's actually done.
Well, even last year, and I know Wittenberg got beat up a little bit and had some kids playing injured and sick at the end of last season when they were still doing really good. But you just don't know. It's we don't follow those teams a lot. Freedom, Wrightstown, some of those teams are pretty good in that girls' side of the bracket. I'm also always amazed, one thing on these seedings things, is how you always got some, these big games seem to happen, like, there's always one or two big games afterwards that could have had huge, like the Rice Lake game. Mosinee beats Rice Lake for the girls' side. They end up being the number one seed, but Mosinee at the three takes them down in the game.
And that's really interesting because I don't know if that would have affected, because now Mosinee plays Lakeland in a regional final. It could have been maybe Lakeland gets the one and Rice Lake gets the two, or maybe Mosinee gets the two.
It could change things, is what I'm saying. But I want to see Wittenberg, again, with that mark. They are really rolling, and I think they're just dangerous when, we talk about the two girls that can score, but there's some other key cogs on that team that make them go to that undefeated record, and they're just solid the way they play.
And Division Four, and you see a lot of Marrowwood Conference South teams get pretty decent seedings. You got Marathon, a number three seed in their bracket. They're in sectional number one. They will face either Abbotsford or Cadott in their first game a week from Friday. You got Edgar at number seven in that bracket. Phillips from the Marrowwood North, number four. So they're part of that bracket. Cameron is number one seeded. McDonald Catholic, number two. And then in sectional two, you got Auburndale, number three seed, which shows, I think, a pretty tough bracket, because they got number two seed Bonduelle. Really the only team they've had any issue with so far this year is Wittenberg-Burnaboy, and then, of course, St. Mary Catholic, the number one seed. So I would say that Auburndale may got the short end of the stick in terms of sectional placement.
Yeah, they have a tough one to go. I mean, they had a good conference record at 12-3, 19-4 overall. That's a really good record, and they're number three, so sometimes that computer also shows that the strength of the teams in that area. And again, interesting to see how,
and likewise,
all that gets mapped out.
And real quickly, I forgot to mention, I mean, it's weird. I mean, we always talk about Auburndale, Marathon, and Stratford on the boys' side in the same bracket. You got Auburndale, Marathon, and Stratford in three different sectionals on the girls' side. I mean, because sectional number three, Stratford, number four seed. And like Auburndale, great regular season, but they got Neillsville as the number one seed. You got Aquinas as the number two seed. Bangor, number three seed. So, again, I think maybe Stratford would love to have been together maybe with Marathon and Edgar and Auburndale in one bracket.
Well, again, they had a 19-4 overall mark, 13-2 in the conference, and doing very well. So I think that where you go and where it's set up regionally can really make a difference. I mean, I was just sharing with a little selling point to one of our parents. I said, as at Newman, you have a nice system. You play in the very tough Marrowwood, and then you don't have to be like Marathon, Stratford, and Auburn. They'll go wail on each other in the play. You get rid of them after you go play your heart out the regular season against them. You're going somewhere else, and I'm sure. So at some point, sometimes it's great competition, but we want to see somebody else, and at least they get that way. But it doesn't get any easier.
And speaking of which, Division Five. Assumption, number one ranked team in the state, number one seed. They will wait for the winner of number nine Northern Lutheran and number eight Loyal. Newman is a number 12 seed in the bracket. They play Greenwood. Athens, number 13 seeded. They travel to Almond Bancroft. And obviously, it's an interesting bracket because you have Pacelli down at the bottom at number two seed. And of course, Pacelli is the only team that beat Assumption this year.
Yep. So I think something for Pacelli to hang their hats on as that gets closer, if the one and two matchup make it into that final. Versus Assumption is just a tough guard, the way they press, the way they push the ball, the way they just get their hands on a lot of errors that they'd make the other team do. And I think it'll be interesting to see when they finally gain a little competition, because they seem to roll these last couple of years very early over the teams that they face early on in the playoffs.
Well, we're going to take a timeout for an information update at the top of the hour. But then coming up in hour number two, we'll start off with the head boys basketball coach of the Marathon Red Raiders, Adam Jacobson. And then after that, we will be talking to our student athlete guest for this week, a senior from Wausau West, Paige Anderson. So that's all coming up. Hour number two of the Big High School Sports Show, presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. On Friday night, the Marathon High School boys basketball team travels to Wisconsin Rapids to take on the Assumption Royals in a Merrowood Conference South Division matchup. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coverage begins with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip set for 7:15. Marathon Basketball on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Marathon Park City, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Brickner's of Little Chicago, County Materials, The People's State Bank, Marathon Cheese, The Dirks Group, Marathon Family Dentistry, and the Marathon Athletic Club. It's Marathon at Assumption in high school boys basketball Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 7, opening tip at 7:15 on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio,
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. New York City's congestion pricing system is on life support. The Trump administration says it will halt the tolls to enter Manhattan, making many New Yorkers happy.
Congestion pricing is done. Yes.
More from CBS's Stacey Lynn.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy sent a letter to New York Governor Kathy Hochul saying the program was getting pulled.
If you're a middle income or a lower income shopper or worker, you can't access public roads. That's flat out wrong.
He called congestion pricing
to war on the working class Americans who work in that space.
The governor responded, they're fighting
for our residents, our commuters, our emergency personnel. Life has gotten better, even those who have asthma, people with illness. That's who we're fighting for.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
CBS News has learned more than 3,500 IRS employees will be fired by the end of this week. Those workers will be notified tomorrow. A judge did not issue a ruling today after hearing our